Let me give a testimony right off this morning. It's important that we have the prayer of agreement sometimes. And so when we have seasons here, like we will Wednesday night, for you to come and be prayed for, we've also shared before and share again, you can always get a prayer card out on the rack on either side of the Connection Center, fill it out and just come up and hand it to the person if you don't want to stay down here, and they'll pray over your card. But our granddaughter's been sick for several days, sore throat, other things going on with her. She just told me just now, and she's back there at this moment back there. She said, she prayed for me, and she said, and I feel better now, and my sore throat's gone, and I'm going to sing. Never underestimate the faith of a child in agreement. But you know what? We need to be like children and have the same faith. And so we come and we're prayed for, believe, and receive. And so I encourage you, if you were prayed for this morning, receive this morning. Receive your healing. Receive your miracle. In Jesus' name. Amen? Well, I'm glad you're here today. I know many who are normally here can't be here today, so I'm going to speak to the camera for a few moments to make a special announcement, and the rest of you will hear it, but it's important for them because of something we can't do always. This Wednesday is our first Wednesday service, and God is calling an audible. He has spoke a word to me that He is telling me that I have to release on Wednesday, and it'll only be released once from this platform. So for those of you who normally watch us online, I just need you to know we cannot always provide online service on Wednesday night. We just can't. Like last time, we were not able to do that. We may not be able to this time. So I'm going to encourage you to be here Wednesday night because I have a word from God that I'm going to release on Wednesday night, on our first Wednesday night service at 7 p.m. So I'm going to encourage you to make every effort to be here on Wednesday night to hear that word. We'll also have worship. We'll also have personal ministry time and prayer. But this word is very, very important, and God is just, He just dropped it, and He said, I want this release. So it's a word from God, so don't miss it. I encourage you to be here for it on Wednesday night for what God is wanting to speak, and He's wanting to speak into the church. He's wanting to speak into your life. I know some of your jobs just don't allow you to do that. I get that. I understand that. But if all possible, be here at 7 o'clock Wednesday night to hear what God is, next Wednesday night. I'm ahead. Colin's over here tripping out. Next Wednesday night, the first Wednesday, but I need to make that announcement now because I need you to begin to plan for that service. Because when God sets a date to release something, it's important. If you'll check out Scripture, follow the stories of people's lives and the way God did things, when He decides that there's a time and a season for something to be released, it's extremely important. And he spoke to me that date, that first Wednesday service. So I encourage you to be here for that service. So my next thing is I've got everybody sweating on this worship team wondering about first Wednesday. I'm going to tell you what, it's a powerful word, and I'm excited about what God is saying He's about to do. Yes. So you need to be here for that service. What does this T-shirt have to do with my new series, The Church in the Wild? You'll have to come back next Sunday to find out. So you need to be here next Sunday to find out what that T-shirt has to do with my new sermon series, The Church in the Wild. Last week I said this, that the church has got to quit living in the zoo, caged and tamed. That's got to end. The church has got to become the church in the wild, where we live out radical faith and radical trust in God. That is needed right now. No other time in our history. It is time for the church to live as the church in the wild, not caged up anymore, no longer going around like tame Christians. We need to be vocal with strong faith and strong trust in God. Now, with that said, I still come in contact with Christians who do not seem to understand why they should contend for the gospel of Jesus Christ. contending for the gospel is standing up for the biblical truths in this book. It is standing up for the values that God has set for His church to live. The church in the wild has got to stand up and quit giving in to the naysayers who are demanding that there be silence to this truth and that it be reworked, reworded to fit whatever lifestyle somebody wants to live. The church has got to stand up and be the church in the wild and contend for the gospel of Jesus Christ. There is a passage of scripture in Joshua that I want to read to you to open with. It's Joshua chapter 24 and verse 14. Now therefore, fear the Lord and serve Him in sincerity and in truth. Remove the gods which your fathers served on the other side of the Euphrates River and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Underline, and serve the Lord. Verse 15. If it is unacceptable in your sight to serve the Lord, choose for yourself this day whom you will serve. I believe God is speaking to His church, crying out, choose me or the world. Whether the gods which your fathers served that were on the other side of the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But as for me and my house, we will serve the Lord. Choose this day who you will serve. I am sharing with you in this series, a five-part series, five keys to the church in the wild. Last week, I shared the first one, which was that the church in the wild never gives up or gives in. Now, number two, the church in the wild will contend for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That means we will stand up for the biblical truths and values taught in this holy word. We must contend for this gospel. If you don't know it, there is a movement, and it's very strong, to ban this book now. Unless your head's been in the sand, or you've just been so busy, and I'm going to tell you what, this world can get you busy and get us distracted and disconnected, right? It can do it. There is a strong movement to do that. And the church has got to be the church in the wild and contend for the faith and the gospel of Jesus Christ. Got to. So, as I'm asked many times, why should I contend for the gospel of Jesus Christ? I don't get upset when people ask that. I've had people go, "You kidding me? You're a Christian. You should know." They're asking me an honest question. Why should I do it? Because no one's ever told them. They got saved and nobody's ever discipled them and shared with them why they need to contend for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Now, the truth is, I could spend every Sunday for the rest of the year giving you reasons to contend for the gospel of Jesus Christ. That's just a fact. But I'm going to give you three good ones. To be the church in the wild. Number one, because Christ is worth it. I'm going to say it again. Because Christ is worth it. It leads me to truth number one. No greater argument can be made than this. Christ is worth it. Christ Jesus died a horrific death for you, for me, and guess what? For everyone. It became the door for everyone to walk through to salvation and to be made whole. and be forgiven of their sins. Because Christ is worth it. Jesus is the center of the Christian faith. Or he should be. But see, there's other gospels being preached now, even in churches, to water it down, that he's not really the total center of everything. There's other centers. No, Jesus Christ is the center of the Christian faith. Amen. There is no other door. Amen. There's no other way. Amen. It's Jesus. And without him, humanity is hopeless. Just a fact. And so the church has got to come out from behind the walls. As I said last week, come out from behind the computers and televisions and everything else that distracts us. Rochelle and I'm not picking on anybody here. I don't think we've seen anybody here yet. But it always amazes us. We go out on a date and we get to talking and sharing stuff, and I'm looking around and couples don't even talk to each other. Church, got to come out from behind the screens and be the church in the wild. This is free, totally off script. Hey, you need to be communicating with each other out in public when you're on a date night like that. Just spend all your time talking to each other, because other people need to see how it should be. Be the example to the world of what it means to communicate with your mate. Oh, that was free and it didn't go over real well. Okay, John 14, verse 6. Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. We must be the church in the wild. We must stand up and contend for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must make Jesus known. Why? For the sake of the lost. For the sake of the backslidden Christian. For the sake of the Christian who doesn't know that they're backslidden, who have begun to believe another gospel. For the sake of the unchurched. For the sake of those who have disconnected from church. We must contend for the gospel of Jesus Christ. We must stand up and be vocal. And in my mind, it's worth it. Contending for souls. Contending for the unchurched. Contending for those who have disconnected from church. It's worth it. You were worth it. I'm going to say it again. You were worth it, and so are they. We need to be contending for the faith and gospel of Jesus Christ. That leads me to number two. And hang on. Standing for the truth about Jesus Christ will cause conflict. Pastor, you were doing really good till you said that. Let's stop being afraid. None of us have ever had to go through what they're going through in other countries. We have never had to go through what Paul the Apostle had to go through. We do go through some things, but conflict is a part of standing up. Have you stood up for anything and not had to face conflict at times? 9 times out of 10, when you stand up for something, conflict finds you. Correct? It finds you. And you just press right on through. Why? Because you believe in what you stood up for. Right? We need to stand up for the gospel of Jesus Christ because we believe it's that important. And if conflict comes, we face it. Because the truth is, I do not face it alone. For my Father said, I will never leave you or forsake you. I am with you, and I will carry you through. Now, another freebie this morning. How are we living our life in front of people so that they'll receive us when we stand up? That has to be said. They know you're a Christian, but then when you make your stand, what example have you given them beforehand? A big part of defeating the conflict is because you've been standing all along and presenting what it looks like to be a Christian and the way that you act, the way that you handle things. And when they see you go through stuff and they know you struggled, but you got right back on track, they notice that stuff. It's time to stand up and not be the church in the zoo, caged and tamed. Long before a modern apologist had to contend for the faith, Jesus said this in Matthew 10, verse 34. Do not think that I have come to bring peace to the earth. I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. For I have come to set a man against his father, and a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. Verse 36, and a person's enemies will be those of his own household. Whoever loves father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. Whoever loves son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And whoever does not take his cross and follow me is not worthy of me. Strong words from our Lord. He's making a very strong point. Every time I read that passage of Scripture, I am reminded that I am an ambassador. I am an ambassador of King Jesus. I am an ambassador of the Lord of Lords and the King of Kings, Christ Jesus. I am an ambassador. And ambassadors act as an extension of the King. You act as an extension of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. You're an ambassador. And you are to stand when someone should attempt to misrepresent the King or to misinterpret his truths, his message. We should be standing up as ambassadors, representing the King. And to stand up when someone misrepresents the kingdom of God. And when they try to take Jesus' message and change it. We are ambassadors. I love what the Apostle Paul said about this when he declared in 2 Corinthians 5:20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ. God making his appeal through us. Let's say that again. Verse 20. Therefore, we are ambassadors for Christ, making his appeal through us. We implore you on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. For our sake, he made him to be sin who knew no sin, that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Truth number three. For Jesus, we must act as beacons of truth. Pause. To be a beacon of truth means that you cannot be caged and tamed in a zoo. To be a beacon, you can't cover up who you are. To be a beacon means you must be visible. So find ways to be visible. I know that in our COVID reality that is still going on, that jobs, everything has changed. Many of you who used to go to the office now stay at home. You're going to have to get creative. Come on, you're going to have to get creative. Find ways to expose your light to the world. We got to get creative on what we're going to do and how we're going to do it. The church cannot stay covered up. the world needs the church. And needs a church that's not caged or tamed, but needs a church that will contend for the gospel of Jesus Christ. And next Sunday is going to be awesome. Don't you dare stay away. Number two, because the Bible says so. We need to contend for the gospel because the Bible says so. I'm going to make this real simple. There are so many passages of Scripture that call out how we are supposed to contend for the gospel of Jesus Christ. I've just picked a few, and here's a short list of to-dos on contending for the faith. Keep an eye on false teachers. Church, we need to be awake. We need to know the book and recognize when another gospel is being preached from this book. It is amazing how Scripture is being taken, twisted. And then we need to stand up and say something. Let anyone teaching another gospel be accursed. Expose fruitless deeds of darkness. Stand firm and strive for the gospel. Point out false teachings. Flee from greedy ministry tactics. How are you going to do all that? You got to know the book. And I will continue to say this should be our number one read. I'm not telling you not to read other stuff. I'm not telling you to listen to all the devotionals. I'm not telling you any of that. But this has got to be the number one read. Part of how you make the number one read through the Bible every year. And nowadays, they've provided so many ways to do that to make it convenient. Know the book. Jude writes, verse 3, "Behold, beloved, although I was very eager to write to you about our common salvation, I found it necessary to write, appealing to you to contend for the faith that was once for all delivered to the saints." Now, Jude is saying, I just want to talk to you guys about our common faith of salvation, but I can't. I have got to encourage you to contend for the faith. And if you study, it's because false teachers were creeping in. And the church needed to be woke up and pay attention and contend for the faith. Verse 4, "For certain people have crept in unnoticed who long ago were designated for this condemnation, ungodly people who pervert the grace of our God into sensuality and denying our Master and Lord, Jesus Christ." The entire purpose, and the entire purpose that's going on right now, is to turn the Word of God upside down and deny Jesus and smear his name. And the church has got to step up and quit letting it happen. Don't just walk away when you hear something. "Well, I'm not real good about speaking." We'll just turn around and start praying and look them in the eye or look their direction. Can you imagine what would happen if you stuck your hands out and you started praying for them? They're like, "What is he doing?" And then you grin and walk off. You know, something's about to change in your life. Church, we have to stand up. Sometimes I have to tie a rope on Rochelle to get her to calm down. This is serious. And I'm talking to every pastor who listens to me. Motivational messages can be great. But if it's leaving out the truth of the gospel, it's wrong. The church has got to stand up. and contend for the faith. Amen. To be biblically illiterate, I've had people say, I've had them tell me this, always amazes me. After 37 years of being a Christian, it still amazes me when someone says, well, I don't really know the Bible that well, so I'm not really held accountable. Wrong. You're a Christian. Jesus is going to be talking to you. If you're listening, you are accountable. And to be biblically illiterate, all it does is set you up to be deceived. To be easily fooled. Know this book. It's important. Truth number four. For the gospel's sake, Paul was willing to be beaten, shipwrecked, robbed, and wronged. He was willing to go through all of that for one purpose, to defend and contend and stand up for the gospel of Jesus Christ. Church, we've got to be the church in the wild who will stand up for the gospel's sake, for the lost's sake, for the backslider's sake, for the unchurched sake, for the de-churched sake. Now let me bring it home. We need to contend for the gospel's sake for ourselves. Because we need to know the Word of God, and that's going to benefit us. Romans chapter 16, verse 17 says, I appeal to you, brothers, to watch out for those who cause division and create obstacles contrary to the doctrine that you have been taught. Avoid them. 1 Timothy 6, verse 3 and 4. If anyone teaches a different doctrine and does not agree with the sound words of our Lord Jesus Christ and the teaching that accords with godliness, he is puffed up with conceit and understands nothing. Boy, that's strong language. Teaches a different doctrine. Rationalizes this word into saying something else to fit a lifestyle. Truth number five, contending for the gospel of Jesus Christ is part of being a Christian. I know I say this a lot, but I'm going to keep saying it because I want you to know. I haven't always been a pastor. I've been in the workplace. I've been out there doing this. And always found great joy in contending for the gospel. No matter what I went through, I found great joy. Because there's joy in serving my Christ and my Lord. It's why today I get myself in situations and put myself in places to where I am still doing those same things in different environments. People say, why do you go get involved in that? Why do you go do that? Why did you do that? Because I am to be a light to the world. And I can't do it behind these walls. I can't do it inside my house. I've got to be out there where I can be the light to the world. We've got to get creative and find ways to be a light. How are you going to be a light? If you're not sure, ask God. God, help me be a light. It won't take him long. He'll start giving you stuff. Then guess what happens after that? Then you've got to obey what he just said. And there's a blessing in that. Number three, because the lost are worth it. Because the lost are worth it. There's a sign, banner out there in the hallway. We used to keep them down in the front when we were in the theater. Thank God we're not portable anymore. In the theater, we had a banner on either side that said, one matters. The heart of who we are is to bring fresh hope, one person at a time. One matters here. The lost matter. Truth number six, the lost must be snatched from the wolves who prey upon them. And I have learned that some of the worst wolves can be people who have backslidden away from Christ because they want to drag others into what they're doing to justify what they're doing. Church, we got to stand up and rescue people. We got to rescue people. It was famously described one time, what should mark a Christian's zeal? And that person was Charles Spurgeon. Here's what he said. If sinners be damned, at least let them leap to hell over our dead bodies. Using some strong language. And if they perish, let them perish with our arms wrapped about their knees, imploring them to stay. If hell must be filled, let it be filled in the teeth of our exertion, and let not one go unwarned and unprayed for. If nothing else, warn people of the and bring the truth to them. Share your story. Share your story. We must contend for the gospel of Jesus Christ. The church cannot continually sit silently while deception runs amok. The church in the wild will stand up and reach out to save people. The church of the wild will not let this happen. Now, the church in the zoo will, but North Elevation Church is going to be a church in the wild. God has made us an incredible promises. And I'm going to say it again. God is up to something huge here. And if we follow Him and His gospel and obey His word, we're going to see everything come to pass that He has promised. Because a big key to all of that is what? The big word, obedience. We have faith to believe what He said was true. Now let's go obey God's word and watch it be manifested. I'm ready for it. Remember, the promise is not just for this place, but for your house too. My final statement this morning is very simple. Christians must do all they can do. Christians must do that all they can to proclaim truth and refute the errors that lead people to believe in a false teaching of Christ. I'm going to read that again. Christians must do all they can to proclaim truth. All you can do to proclaim truth and refute the errors that lead people to believe in a false teaching of Christ. True saving faith is on the line. Eternity is on the line. Let's do our part and trust God with the results. Let's trust God with the results. But we have to do our part. We must do all we can to get the truth out, to proclaim that truth. We need to be proclaimers of the truth. We are ambassadors of Christ Jesus. We are to be beacons of life and light to the world. It is time that we be the church in the wild and step out and quit cowering to fear of the words of the naysayers. Because all they want to do is silence your voice. And your Father, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords, has more power than they do. I'm going to say it again. Your Lord has more power than they do. And He is with you. And we need to take a stand. We need to stand up and be the church in the wild. I asked the Lord, I said, Father, You've given me a very direct and short message this morning. What is the purpose of that? What do You want me to do? in casting the net this morning. And the Father simply said, call my church to contend for my gospel. And then trust me with the results in their lives. So, Father, according to your words to me, I call this church and North Elevation Church that's online this morning. I call this church in obedience to God the Father, who said, call my church to defend the gospel of Jesus Christ. And now, Father, I trust you with the results through your people to do that. God, I thank you for every person that is a part of the community of faith at North Elevation Church. Father, this is a message of love, if people will hear it. It's a message of compassion, if they'll hear it. It's a message of long-suffering, if they'll hear it. It's actually a message of peace, if they'll hear it. There's no greater joy, Father, than seeing someone come to Christ Jesus. There's no greater joy than to see a backslider come home. There's no greater joy to watch someone who was deceived now walk in the light again and see the glow and the joy on their face. Father, stir up your church. Stir up your church, God. There are levels of joy and celebration and excitement we've never known yet. But we will. Because we will contend for the gospel of Jesus Christ. God, I give you praise and I give you honor and I give you glory for it in Jesus' name. Church, I have this to end with. You need to be in prayer. You need to stay in prayer. This whole morning I've been struggling because I feel the attack. The enemy does not want the truth to be spoken. I have felt the pressure. Church, we need to be praying. We need to be standing. I refuse to quit. I refuse to quit. I refuse to give up. I refuse to give in. We're going to stand. We're going to believe God. No matter what happens, we're going to believe God. We're going to believe God. I don't care what the news says. We're going to believe God. Whom do you trust? Well, it kind of went south. Whom do you trust? No matter what, we believe in the gospel of Jesus Christ. If you're a guest with us for the first time, I'm going to encourage you to stop by the Connection Center if you have not already received a bag from us. And if you would, please fill out your connection card. However much you're comfortable with, we're not going to send you a bunch of phone calls and emails, but we would like to know that you were here, and we encourage you to do that. Church, would you stand with me as you're going to get out early today and beat everybody to the restaurants, and you get to go be the church in the wild today? Let me remind you, you treat that waitress, well, they tell me servers, from another generation. You know, they're waitresses, waiters. Now it's servers. You be sure and bless them, and you love them. And if they're having a bad day and not doing real well with you, you love them anyway. Go be the light. Go be the beacon. Take the message of Christ Jesus to the world out there, and you will walk in joy that is unspeakable. Be blessed and have a great week in Jesus' name.